Certainly, we as humans do need to be reminded of all of the great things that God does for us day after day. What a joy it is to be here with you, dear people, this morning. Look at the Bible, and you heard it read, and we're going to look at just verses 37 and 38. Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. In verse 37, it says, and notice, God is saying here, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, here are some things you need to do, here are some things you do not need to do, and here is the result of your obeying God. And in verse 37, he says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. In other words, if you will not be so judgmental about other people, then other people will not be so judgmental against you. And then he says, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. And have you ever noticed that it's a lot easier to find somebody to condemn something for than it is to commend them for? And to condemn people doesn't help them at all. But if you commend somebody, then they'll do that thing better the next time. For instance, husbands or wives, if you ever catch your husband doing something good, and if you look long enough, eventually you will, okay? You commend him for that. And by the way, husbands, you go home and eat a good meal today, it would be a good idea for you to commend your wife for that good meal. If you don't, you'll be like me and eating TV dinners a lot. Amen. But it's a lot easier to condemn somebody than it is to commend them. And then he says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. By the way, I'm sure that all of us realize our need to be forgiven. And as we forgive others, then God forgives us. Now, verse 38 says, and again, here's something God is saying to do. And if you do this, this is the result, okay? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And here is an agricultural illustration, and many of the illustrations in the Bible are agricultural illustrations. And here is a farmer that has a basket, and he's selling some wheat, and he puts the wheat in the basket, and he fills it all the way to the top, and then he takes his hand and he presses down on it. Then he shakes it, and that will mean it will hold a lot more wheat, and he fills it up again to the top. And what God is saying to us, whatever you give, that shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, that farmer wanted to be sure that whoever he sold wheat to, he got all that he deserved and more. How many of you remember the term baker's dozen? All right, good. Some people old enough to remember that. Baker's dozen was this. You'd go to the bakery and you'd buy a dozen donuts. And they'd throw in an extra one. You'd get 13. Now, I think it's changed today. If you go to the bakery and order a dozen donuts, they'll probably give you 11, okay? But God is saying to us, I want you to give. By the way, God must have loved the word give. Because in the Bible, the word give is found in our English Bible 811 times. Now, to be sure, most of the time it refers to what God has given to us. This morning, I want us to think about some things that I am absolutely positive that God wants you to give. Give, God says. Whatever you give, you'll get back more than you give. Number one, I am absolutely sure that God desires that we give our soul to Him. There are several words that mean basically the same as the word give. For instance, yield, commit, present, and so forth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Isn't it wonderful? God wants everybody to be saved. And by the way, don't ever let anybody tell you that when Jesus Christ died, He only died for a certain number of people. Let me give you one verse. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." By the way, somebody's well said, and the advocate means a lawyer. If you want to get to heaven, you better get yourself a good Jewish lawyer, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus makes intercession for us? And then he went on to say, "And he is the propitiation." The word propitiation means the sacrifice that pleased God. "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." That's pretty plain, amen. When Jesus Christ shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's tree, that was sufficient to save everyone that has ever been living, and everyone that's living now, and everyone that will ever live. Romans 6:23, I love this verse. "The wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve. Hey, by the way, have you ever met anybody that made a statement, "All I want is what I deserve"? And every time I hear that statement, I think, no, you don't want what you deserve. If I got what I deserve, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That means separation from God and an eternal hell. The wages of sin is death. If I got what I deserve, I'd spend eternity separated from God. But aren't you glad for His mercy? God's mercy is keeping from us what we deserve. And then He said, but the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I am absolutely positive that Jesus wants everyone to commit their soul to Him. "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him." If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, would to God this would be the good day when you realize that you're a sinner and on your way to hell, and realize that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and in simple childlike faith, trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So I am absolutely sure that God wants everyone to give, to present, to commit their soul to Him. Number two, He desires that we present ourselves unto God. Listen to Romans 12:1. "I beseech you," and the word "beseech" simply means "I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable servant. What does it mean to present my body to God? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. I think it means this. And by the way, this is talking about a total commitment. Have you ever made a total commitment to God? What does it mean? I believe it means this. Dear God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I will be anything you want me to be. I will do anything you want me to do. I will say anything you want me to say. You say, wait a minute. That might be dangerous. If I told God I'd go anywhere he wanted me to go, he may send me to the mission field. He may want me to go to some dangerous country. If I committed my whole life unconditional to him, he might make me do something that'll make me miserable the rest of my life. And my dear friend, if that's your thought, you have a very low concept of your Heavenly Father. God loves you and he knows what's best for you, and he'll give you everything that you need wherever you are. God expects you to commit your entire life to the Lord. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to be, that's total commitment. I had a friend by the name of Ron. And Ron was the athletic director and coach at basketball team in Tennessee Temple Schools. And Ron Bishop, he got saved when he was about 15 years old. And he said, I went to camp right after I got saved. And by the way, the same thing happened to me, and I was saved when I was 16 years old. But I went to camp, and it changed my life. And Ron said, when I got to camp, you know, there were counselors, men counselors, and lady counselors. It was near a university or a college, a Bible college. And Ron said there was one of the lady counselors that the first time I looked at her, I could not help but think, that is the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my whole life. And you know, young fellas, sometimes they get a crush on older girls. And Ron got a crush on this girl. And he said, I couldn't keep my eyes off her. She was beautiful. He said, during that camp, I heard missionaries. And some of them said, I told God I'd go anywhere but Africa, and God sent me to Africa. I told God I would go anywhere he wanted me to go except China, and God sent me to China. And Ron said, after hearing those testimonies, I began to pray to God, dear God, don't make me marry that girl and go to Hawaii as a missionary. And he said, by the way, God did not do either one. Amen. God is our loving Heavenly Father. And by the way, he knows where I need to be better than I know where I need to be. And when I commit myself to him, that is a wonderful thing. God wants me to commit my soul to him. God wants me to yield my life to him. And God wants me to give of my substance to him. Now, I'm absolutely sure that God desires that I give to him my substance. Listen to Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offering. You're cursed with a curse. for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. The storehouse, that's God's church. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I remember as a young husband, Virginia and I had only been married a few months. We were members of the Black Oak Baptist Church. Pastor W. Jones got up, and he read those verses. And he preached a very simple sermon on tithing. The tithe is one-tenth of everything that God gives me. The tithe belongs to the Lord. And he's told us that the storehouse is the church. And therefore, every born-again believer should give at least one-tenth of their income to the work of God for the church. And I listened to Brother Jones preach that morning. Now, I could have walked out of the building that day and said to Brother Jones, Brother Jones, that was a good message. But that wouldn't have helped me. I went forward in the service, and I said to Brother Jones, I said, Brother Jones, I believe what you preached this morning. And from this minute on, that was in 1954. From this minute on, I will give at least one-tenth of everything that God gives to me through my local church. And Brother Jones told the congregation about it. He said, Don has come forward this morning. He's committed his life to be a tither. And by the way, when he said that, the treasurer of Black Oak Baptist Church didn't jump up and say, well, praise God, now that Don's going to tithe, our financial problems are over. In 1954, minimum wage was $1 an hour. I was working at King's Foundry in Griffith, Indiana, for $40 a week. My tithe was $4. And I can hear somebody say, well, good night. If my tithe was only $4, I wouldn't mind tithing, okay? By the way, $36 is not much to have left. The tithe is one-tenth of everything that God gives me. And I made that commitment that day. That, dear Lord, everything you give to me the rest of my life, at least one-tenth of that belongs to you through the church that I'm a member of. That was one of the best commitments I've ever made in my whole life. That's how I learned to tithe. In 1968, I was home on furlough from Japan, and I was preaching at the Marquette Manor Baptist Church downtown Chicago. Dr. Wayne Van Gilderen, Sr. And he said to me, he said, now, Brother Sisk, I want you to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to have Dr. Billy McCarroll of the Cicero Bible Church to come and teach our church about faith promise giving. Now, I had never heard the term faith promise giving. But Dr. Billy McCarroll came and he began to teach about faith promise giving. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. He expounded those scriptures in the next three messages. And I remember him saying, faith promise is simple. You have a mission conference, you have a mission emphasis, and then you urge everyone there to make a commitment to give something every week to world evangelization. And I thought, that's simple. That's scriptural. He used 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and chapters 9. And I went back to my church, Calvary Baptist Church in Harvey, Illinois, and I taught them about faith promise giving. And we had a conference, had a faith promise conference. And I remember getting a commitment card 1968, I was home on furlough from Japan. By the way, my total support as a missionary in Japan at that time was $500 a month. And I looked at that card and I made this commitment. By faith in God, I promised to give $5 a week to missions above and beyond my regular faith my regular giving to the church. And that was the beginning. The next year I gave $10 a week. The next year I gave $20 a week. The next year I gave $40 a week. The next year I gave $80 a week. And then I figured out, if I keep doubling it every year, pretty soon I'll be giving $1 million a week. And I thought, that's probably a little bit beyond my means. But since 1968, I have increased my faith promise giving every year. Are you a tither? Are you giving to faith promise? I'm absolutely positive that God desires that every one of you be a tither. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every member of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, gave at least 1/10 of all that they make, all that God gives them, to this church? And wouldn't it be great if every member of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, gave something every week for missions above and beyond their regular tithe and their offering? God desires that I give my soul to Him, present my soul to Him. I did. God desires that I give myself to Him. Best I know how, I've done that. God desires that I give my substance to Him. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me remind you, look at them. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Let me give you a good example of that. Christmas time came to my first church, 1954, Silent Run Baptist Church, Nebo, Kentucky. A lady came up and said, "Brother Sisk, I want you and Miss Virginia to go to Jordan Furniture Company." That was a furniture company in Madisonville, Kentucky. "And you buy anything you want, anything you need, and put it on my account." Back in those days, you didn't have credit cards, you had accounts. And so Virginia and I went to Jordan Furniture Company, and we looked around and shopped around. We saw everything we saw we wanted and everything we saw we needed, okay? We had nothing. We was in Bible school. But after about an hour and a half in Jordan Furniture Company and talking with Buford and Ruby Day, we walked away with our purchase. It was a little magazine rack. I don't know why we didn't get any magazines. But it was a magazine rack about that long. It cost $5.95. I still have that magazine rack. It is a trophy of my stupidity. We could have had anything. Listen to the psalmist. Psalms 81:10. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. I think what he's saying is, why don't you ask God for, and why don't you trust God for some big things? What about you? Have you committed your soul to Him? If you have, it's in good hands. If you have not, you're living very dangerously, because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said it, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Amen. And if you're trusting anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, it will not work. But thank God, if you've committed your soul to Him, He will keep it for eternity. What about you? Have you given yourself to the Lord? Would you be willing to say today, "Dear God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I think if you would, there'd be a lot more people on the mission field." Yep. I think if you did, there'd be a lot more soul winners. I think if you did, there'd be a lot more people that are faithful to God in their giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Could I assure you today that whatever you give to God, God will give you something a whole lot better than that. Let's pray together, Pastor.